Whether you know it or not, you have a calling. You may have not thought about it exactly in those words, but God has a unique plan and purpose, and it's not a secret. In fact, you have the potential to make a difference in ways you've never imagined. That's today on Living on the Edge. Stay with me.
Welcome to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this international discipleship program, and I'm Dave Drewy. We're in Chip's series, Discover Your True Self, and in this program, he begins by suggesting that you pull out his notes. These are his message notes that show his outline and all the extra helps he wants you to have as you listen and study along. And to get them, just click the Broadcasts tab at livingontheedge.org or tap Fill In Notes on the app. While you're doing that, I'll let you know that we're coming down to the last couple of programs in this series, so if you've missed any of them along the way, the Chip Ingram app is a great way to catch up or listen again. Well, let's get going, shall we, and join Chip now for his message, You Are Called, from Ephesians chapter 2.
I'd really like to start a little bit differently if you would pull out your notes and go to the back page. I'm going to start at the very end. And there's two misbeliefs there, and I want to share these because these perhaps are the deepest misbeliefs that both myself and my wife has had in a season in our life. Misbelief number one is that I am not wanted or needed by anyone. My life has no purpose or meaning. I'm a victim of an unfair, uncaring world that brings me pain. 4.5 years before I met my wife, she believed that with all of her heart. Many of you know her story. She came from a very difficult home life, abandoned by an unbeliever who went someplace else with another woman that he'd been seeing for a year or so. 2 little babies, no money, broke, and her heart broken. And she believed that. And dangerous emotions and thoughts went through her mind, that apart from those 2 little babies, she probably would have not stayed around. She felt so hopeless. Some of you know what that feels like. They're scary thoughts. The second misbelief is significance and meaning come from success in life. I will be happy someday when my relationships, career, and finances reflect my success and accomplishments. Many people get very hopeless when, after working for years and years and years and years, that doesn't happen. In my case, my upbringing actually helped in a few ways. My Marine father and workaholic tendencies, by 12, I had very clear written goals. I mean, I was going to get a basketball scholarship, I was going to have great grades, and I would date a very pretty girl. And I graduated, and I did all three. And I sat at a party afterwards, and a good friend turned to me and said, "You must be very happy." And I had an experience that I'd never had in my life, because I'd already set the new set of goals. And there was like a wave of emptiness in my soul that I thought, no, I'm not really happy at all. I thought these things would bring it, but it didn't. I had by that time drifted away from church, questioned God, and prayed a prayer on the way home. "God, if you exist, you better reveal yourself, because life makes no sense. Why live? Life's meaningless. All the people I love will die before I die, and if accomplishing things is not what life's about, then life's a crapshoot." And I think I said something a little bit stronger, which probably was not very reverent. If you open your notes to the front page now, I want to talk about those dangerous emotions and how do you deal with those dangerous emotions. It's hard to give one emotion. I chose a word that's kind of vague, but I think you'll get it. The actual dictionary definition comes close. It's angst. Angst is a feeling of deep anxiety, but it's not worry, it's dread. But it's unfocused. It's hard to identify. It's the sense of frustration and apprehension with the general state of the world and your own future. It's just, Look at all this political stuff. Look at all this racism. Look at all this suffering. Look at all this evil. Look at all the terrible things happening. And what about me? And you just often get very discouraged and then depressed. But angst has some emotional cousins. Thoughts start going through your mind, meaninglessness, feeling like my life doesn't have any value or significance. That's where Teresa was. No value. There's no use me being here. Thoughts like purposelessness, without an aim or goal or plan. Life is pointless. It's senseless. That was me. Why do this? And then there's times where you just get hopeless. There's despair, despondency. And here's the core belief. Somehow you start thinking, it'll never get better. A happier day, change is never going to happen. And when you lose hope, that's when horrendous things happen. And they're happening like never before. I have an article in my notes here from the CDC. Suicide across the board has skyrocketed in the last decade. And they did a study to say, is it education? Is it family? Is it support? Why are people killing themselves? And a secular study said, it's the lack of religion and the lack of meaning that there is a God and there's something more than yourself. Angst is real. And by the way, lest you think this is about suicide, every person has moments and dips. I like to read the Psalms because David is a man after God's own heart, and he's dancing in one psalm here and praising God, and God is awesome, and then he's down here in the valley going, why have you forsaken me, and just take me out, and I'm so mad, and I'm so discouraged, and he's clinically depressed. So all I want to say is, this isn't about someone else out there. If you've never had one of these windows, you will. So what's God's antidote? Before you turn the page, let me ask you the question that I always ask in these series is, what apart from Christ do you use to medicate or sedate your sense of angst? What do you do when you feel like life is senseless? What do you do when you get discouraged and depressed? What do you do when you just feel like hopeless? Do you eat? Do you work more? Do you drink? Prescription drugs? Sex? What addictive behavior? I mean, everyone deals with it. It was neat. I had a guy first time here in between services, and he had a book, and he's joining a group. And I said, wow, this is your first time here, and you're joining a group? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because I've never been to your church before, but my wife and I came, and as I listened, I realized. And then he looked at me and goes, I'm an alcoholic, but everything you talked about, I get. And if there's help about that, then I want it. So I'm going to get involved. I said, good move. What's yours? Because here's the deal. We all have stuff, but if you identify yours, if you'd be willing to be honest just privately with God, then the antidote is really going to make sense. Turn the page. What is God's antidote to angst, meaningless, purposelessness? What do you do with those feelings when you feel absolutely insignificant and there's no hope? Number one, remember the hope of your calling. Circle the word hope. Remember the hope of your calling. In chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prayed this. He says, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into who he really is, a true knowledge and an experiential, intimate knowledge of him. And then in the very next verse, he says, I also pray, and this was a different word for know, this fact. I pray that your eyes would be enlightened of your heart, that you would know as a fact the hope of his calling. And what he was really praying was what we've just been learning. What's the hope of your calling? You're chosen. You're accepted by God no matter what anyone says. You're adopted. You have a father. You're redeemed. You're infinitely valuable. You've been purchased by the blood of Christ. You're sealed. You're amazingly secure by the Holy Spirit. And you're empowered. The same power that raised Christ from the dead actually dwells in you. That's what it means to be called. That's who you are. When God sees you, he calls you son. He calls you daughter. And all that is on your notes in that page that I just said, it's true of you. He wants you to see yourself as a dearly loved, chosen, valuable, secure son of God, daughter of the Most High God. And when you ponder that, When you remember that, it makes a big difference. This idea of being called is a little foreign, I think, 21st century Christians. And so I gave you a definition here out of the Theological Dictionary. Call is one of the biblical words associated with our salvation. In other words, God's called you to himself and you responded in faith. In both Hebrew and Greek, call can be used in a sense of naming. And in biblical thought, to give a name to someone bestows an identity. Would you put a box around identity? Your identity is not your work. Your identity is not your looks. Your identity is not your family. Your identity is not your money. It's not your zip code. It's not what other people think. God has called you. You have an identity. Son, daughter, beloved, secure. And notice it goes on. When God is the one who bestows names, the action is almost equivalent to creation. And I gave you a passage there from Isaiah 40. It says where he calls the stars out one by one. In other words, God spoke and billions of stars and galaxies came out. Guess what? God spoke. He spoke to you. And you turned in response. And you said, yes, I do fall short. I'm not perfect. I need help. I need forgiven. And in the empty hands of faith, you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And he did. And just like he spoke creation, he spoke recreation so that you're a new person. The old things have passed away. Now, how do you experience that? That's what the Christian life is all about. So one, you remember the hope of his calling. Second, is to really ponder, to reflect on the magnitude of your calling. Would you put a box around magnitude? This is just for me. I don't think we get it. I don't think we grasp what's really true of us, but as you do, all those issues that we face that we're challenged with, all those ways that we respond that we know aren't healthy but we keep doing, they dissipate. In our time together, here's what I want to do. I'm going to start a little brief review, and then from chapter 2 to the end of chapter 3, I'm going to show you 5 specific ways that God has called you. Here's my goal. I want you to see the magnitude of what's true of you that you are called. And I want you to get it to soak into your head and drip right down into your heart that you will go, oh my. Number one, you are called into a new relationship. He chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are called not to religion. You didn't get called to morality. You didn't get called to duty. You didn't get called to, I'm supposed to do this and supposed to do that. You were called to a relationship. You were called into a relationship with Jesus, a person, a real person who walked on the earth, a real person who really cares about you and knows you and loves you. On the very last night, Jesus was at a vineyard and he was preparing his disciples. And he says, no longer do I call you slaves, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, because all the things the Father has revealed to me, I've made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that you could ask whatever you want, and the Father will give it to you. You know what he's saying is, are you ready? Write this down. God is my friend. He called you into friendship. Not weight, duty, guilt, stuff. Second, God calls us to a new purpose. You are his workmanship, right? You're his tapestry. You're his masterpiece. You're his unique. All the people in all the world, there is no one like you. There's no DNA like yours. But it's not just the physical DNA. You are his masterpiece. He's created you exactly the way he wants you, and he's created you to fulfill something that no one else can do it quite like you, because no one else is you. But notice it's not just who you are. He created you to, what's it say? Do good works, which he has prepared for you. This isn't a last minute thing. He prepared for you from the foundations of the world, that you should literally walk in them or live in them. Now, here's what I want you to do. In your notes, I want you to write the word general, and then under that, I want you to write the word specific. Because you're called to a general purpose, a new purpose of good works, right? You're called to love God and to love people. Jesus, in that same moment with his disciples, said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that your fruit should remain." Well, what's the fruit? The fruit is your character. As you allow Christ to live his life in you and through you, you become kinder, more loving, more patient, less envious, less arrogant, more generous. You begin to think and to act and to speak more and more and more like Jesus. His goal is to make you like him. That's the fruit, to love God and to love people. And that's for everyone, so that your light so shines before men that they what? They glorify their God in heaven. They see your good works. They see how you live. And that's general. That's for all of us. But he also has a specific good work for you to walk in. Imagine, if you will, this colossal, huge puzzle of the body of Christ all over the world. And there's this piece of the puzzle that is you. And it's your gifts and your passions and your background and your history and your hurts and your struggles and even your failures. And all those things are put in to make you a unique you, and you fit and you do something in a way that helps people in a way that no one else can quite like you. I call it your holy ambition. It's very specific. You pursue it and God makes it clearer and clearer and clearer. Connie Segretto has been in the tech world for a lot of years. In 2008, she started a camp called SAM Camp, S-A-M, Science, Art, and Math. She goes into the neediest neighborhoods in places where people in this area have never heard about God, and she recruits these volunteers and friends, and for a week they teach art and science and math, and their parents are like, yeah, but they also teach God's Word. And they make it really, really fun. And they do it for a full week, and they do it at a cost where they never turn anyone away. In her first year, there's 100 kids in the back of a parking lot. Well, now hundreds of kids. And then her holy ambition to help these kids, and she just gets so excited. It's completely volunteer run. And she said, when I discovered that's what God wants me to do, my heart leaps when I see kids. We taught them, they'd never heard of Jesus. They'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. They'd never, ever opened a Bible. And then I watched God work in their life, and then they wanted to tell their parents. And my holy ambition is about teaching God's Word in a way where life change really happens. And so at Living on the Edge, we had created these family devotionals that they're like a 3 or 4 minute, it's an actual little movie. And it's for kids like 5 through about 15. And you show this movie and it will highlight either God's holiness or justice or an attribute. So she shows a video and all they say is, can we watch another one? Can we watch another one? Can we watch that one again? And what happened was God moved in ways like never before. I don't know what you think will make you happy. I will tell you this. When you discover your unique purpose and you begin to give your life away and he uses you and the Spirit of God takes the grace of God through the PVC pipe of your just ordinary life and does something that changes people, I will tell you, there's no drug like it. I had a young gal in between services come up. She goes, I'm from San Diego. I said, oh, good to have you. I said, no, I came up here. I've got some business, but I just came. I came to go to church. I said, why? And this is not true, but I understood what she meant. You saved my life, you saved my marriage, and you saved my family, and I had to look at you in the face. I said, how did that happen? I've got that app. I've been listening for 5 years. And you know what? I don't know what else is going to happen today. Here's what I can tell you. I'm a fulfilled man. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? She's like this 28-year-old and struggling with relationships. I got to be a part. I don't even know how it works. But I got to be a part of. You know what? There's not enough letters or zeros or portfolios or likes or schools that my kids could get in or nice cars or a second homes or a remodeled this that could ever compare with that. Can I tell you something? God called you to a relationship, and then he called you to a new purpose. Discover it. Pursue it.
You've been listening to part one of Chip's message, You Are Called, from his series, Discover Your True Self, How to Silence the Lies of Your Past and Actually Experience Who God Says You Are. Chip will be right back with his application, but before he is, I hope you'll take a second and go online or tap share and encourage others to join us for this series too. We all struggle with doubts about self-worth and value, but the facts about who we are change when we put our faith in Jesus. Chip's teaching from the book of Ephesians to help us understand who we are as believers in Christ. He explains the nature of the new creation we become, and how to leave old thinking and doubts in the past. For a limited time, resources for Discover Your True Self are discounted, and the MP3s are always free. To order your copy or to send it to a friend, visit us online at livingontheedge.org. For additional information, just give us a call at 888-333-6003. You know, Chip, a lot of us make resolutions for the new year, some to read the Bible regularly, but only a few weeks have gone by and a lot of those resolutions have already nosedived. Now, can you help us with a way to sustain that kind of commitment and not quit?
Dave, I would love to. And let me say this. You know, there's been a number of challenges in 2020 that came through the COVID virus, and we're certainly not completely out of it yet. But one of the greatest blessings that came out of all of last year was I found myself in a situation where I couldn't travel, and an idea came to me. And the idea was, I've had scores of people over the years say, Chip, would you disciple me? I mean, would you mentor me? Would you meet with me personally the way that that bricklayer met with you? And I thought to myself, well, I can't go anywhere, and I got a couple cameras set up, and I literally started meeting with just one person, always less than 10 minutes, and I taught them how to study the Bible, and we went right through some passages, and I just shared from my heart. It wasn't a big group. It wasn't a teaching. It wasn't a Bible study. It was sitting down with one person and walking with them so they could learn how to meet God, how to understand the Bible, and how to build a pattern and a discipline that changed the course of my life and others. And all I can tell you, are you ready? Last year, hundreds of thousands of people viewed those little studies, and right now, I'm taking people through Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 to discover your true self. In other words, what I'm teaching right here, I walk through in about 7 or 8 minutes a day. I give a tiny little handout where I ask them to do about 10 minutes of thinking and praying, and the results have been phenomenal. We did this in the fall of 2020, and I just cannot tell you the emails and the letters that I've received of, you know what, I've heard people talk about being connected to God, but now I'm doing it and now I'm experiencing it.
Daily Discipleship with Chip is a course of 10-minute videos where Chip walks you through how to study a passage from the Bible and really hear God's voice. Now, these sessions are designed to help you get into the practice of doing that every day. The study Chip's recommending is based on his current series, Discover Your True Self. Because you see yourself as God sees you is an essential to overcoming your deepest struggles, having healthy relationships, living in freedom, and fulfilling your life's purpose. You're going to find the Daily Discipleship with Chip at livingontheedge.org on the homepage. App listeners, just tap Discipleship.
As we wrap up today, I am super excited about what we talked about and where we're headed in our next broadcast. Remember the hope of your calling? I mean, that is an amazing thought. The fact that the God of the universe has accepted you, wants you, loves you, have made you valuable, secure, and competent. Can you imagine what would happen if people begin to see themselves that way and then realize that you are his masterpiece and that he has something for you to do, a purpose, a calling that no one else can do quite like you? And it's part your personality and your family background and your spiritual gifts and your passions and all those things wrapped up in this special package that God calls you, that motivates you to want to do or help or take on some project that makes a difference. I actually remember teaching this concept at the church, and I wrote a book called Holy Ambition that helps people kind of go from an idea to discover their calling and put it into practice. And so we went through that book together, and I remember a guy who had this passion because of his background to get coats for homeless people. And he started with three or four people in his family and then a small group, and he shared it with a couple people. And before long, it was crazy. We had these big bins everywhere and thousands of coats to homeless people here in the Bay Area. And I remember a young gal who really had some struggles with mental health and realized that other teenagers did, and suicidal thoughts and all kind of stuff that people don't want to talk about. And so she created this project and helped other people learn, hey, it's not a stigma. Here's what I want you to know. When you discover your purpose, when you discover what you're designed to do, the greatest joy you'll ever experience is not what you get, and it's not what other people think. It's when God uses you to love other people. In our next program, we're going to talk about practical ways to learn exactly how He made you and how you can be a difference maker. Hope you'll be with me.
As we wrap up, I want to say thanks to those who make this program possible through your generous financial support. Your gifts help us create programs, purchase airtime, and develop additional resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge, would you consider sending a gift today? You can call us at 888-333-6003, tap the Donate button, or donate online at livingontheedge.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. Well, be sure to join us next time when Chip wraps up his series, Discover Your True Self. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.